At this time, I'll call Mike up to introduce who's speaking this morning. Oh, I was thinking about that song and the lyrics there. I wonder if we would ever use the word twill again. Twill and twon't and twasn't. I kind of wonder if that was just a short period of time where they used those words. It seems like interesting, but anyways, come on, Dad. Up, Dad.
Yeah, I was just talking with Natalia and seeing her hold her grandson, and it was sort of pretty exciting to see that happen. So, welcome to Rudy and Laura again. It's good to have a number of you here this morning and maybe just visiting, and I just want to thank the Lord for you. It's good to have Alex and Vera here today. They just came in from Germany. This is Nick's big brother. Oh, he looks a little shorter. I don't know. I don't know exactly how to put that, right? Is he older or younger? Younger. That's right. Younger than Santa Claus over there. That's right. Okay. Yeah. But they have two boys, Elias and Gabriel, and it's good to have them here, so let's make sure that we welcome them. I see Bill's not here this morning. Is he doing okay? Under the weather, eh? Okay, well, we'll pray for him accordingly, yeah. It's always good to have Frank come and preach, and so we want to do that. I, too, want to just put my little plug in for the different announcements that were made this morning. And again, if you find yourself saying, hey, you know, I'd like to have my kids in Sunday school, please sign up at the back. If you want to participate in leading a game next Sunday, Nat says anything, but I said, you know, maybe we got some crazy people here. I suspect we probably do. And so not too zany, not too far out, but let's have a good time doing it. Volleyball, those of you who have a volleyball net, want to bring that, make sure that happens. What else do I need to say? Oh, yeah, you can eat as much as you like, as long as whatever you eat is pleasing to you. And so if you don't like onions, there won't be onions. Oh, no, I shouldn't have said that. There's going to be probably lots of onions. Now I'm going to pay for it. There you go. But there will be a lot of dessert. I know that. That's for sure. And then the other matter would be, if you want to be part of a Bible class or a small group, please just let us know. I've sent emails out to many of you to just remind you, but there's some that didn't get it, or some friends that you know that might like to be part of a Bible class, so do that. We got kids going back to school, and we also have university students going back to school. And I know all you parents are going, hooray, but not quite. There's still challenges with all of that. And so let's pray for our kids, our young men and young women are going to school. And then, of course, this weekend, a lot of people are away. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. Thank you for the different ones that you brought here this morning. We thank you for what we've been singing. Yes, how marvelous, how wonderful is your love, your grace, your mercy, your forgiveness. We thank you that as brothers and sisters in Christ, we can draw near to you and worship you. We realize that we don't do it perfectly, but we want to do so out of gratitude for what we've received. We thank you, Lord, for your word this morning as it was read, and we look forward to it being proclaimed to us. And so we pray that you'll grant Frank the needed strength, bring to mind those things that he studied, and may you challenge us, refresh us, and may we walk in the light of your truth. Thank you for this time now. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on up, Frank. Have a good time. Children's Church, ages 3 and 4, if you would follow Natalia. Okay. Yeah. So far, I don't see any 3 and 4-year-olds. Oh, there we go. Lila, way to go. Where's Paxton? There he goes. Okay.
Good morning. It's on. You can hear me? Good. Welcome here. It's good to be here, to be able to share God's word and just worship God. The message today I've titled Overcomer, meaning to succeed in dealing with a problem or difficulty. In roughly 605 BC, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, had besieged Jerusalem, and God delivered Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand. Judah was exiled to Babylon because they had disobeyed God's word. This was in regarding covenant keeping and so on. And so Nebuchadnezzar carried them off to Babylon. Among these people that went into exile were Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Each of these men were renamed Belteshazzar, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, indicating that they were now subject to Nebuchadnezzar's authority. Let's turn to Daniel chapter 1. We'll start reading at verse 8. But Daniel resolved not to defile himself with the royal food and wine. And he asked the chief official for permission not to defile himself this way. Now God had caused the official to show favor and compassion to Daniel. But the official told Daniel, "I am afraid of my lord the king, who has assigned your food and drink. Why should he see you looking worse than the other young men your age? The king would then have my head because of you." Daniel then said to the guard whom the chief official had appointed over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, "Please test your servants for 10 days. Give us nothing but vegetables to eat and water to drink. Then compare our appearance with that of the young men who eat the royal food, and treat your servants in accordance with what you see." So he agreed to do this and tested them for 10 days. At the end of the 10 days, they looked healthier and better nourished than any of the young men who had ate the royal food. So the guard took away their choice food and the wine they were to drink and gave them vegetables instead. To these four young men, God gave knowledge and understanding of all kinds of literature and learning, and Daniel could understand visions and dreams of all kinds. At the end of the time set by the king to bring them into his service, the chief official presented them to Nebuchadnezzar. The king talked with them and found none equal to Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. So they entered the king's service in every matter of wisdom and understanding about which the king questioned them. He found them 10 times better than all the magicians and enchanters in his whole kingdom. We see here Daniel resolved not to defile himself, right, with the royal food and wine. Was the food contaminated? Or what was it? Was it possibly offered to idols and so on? What was it? Well, whatever it was, it went against Daniel's faith. And so instead of rebelling, he, along with his friends, came up with an alternative plan. This being done under a lot of pressure, right? So what does God do when these men act in faith? God blessed these four young men with knowledge and understanding. Daniel could understand visions and dreams. They were determined to be faithful to their God, and as a result, all of them get elevated to high positions. The king talked with them, found none equal. In all matters, he found them, as we read, 10 times better than everyone in his kingdom, than all the magicians, enchanters. Wow, eh? When we act in faith and totally trust God, surrender our lives to Him, He can work through us. And in some amazing ways. You probably know the story in chapter 2, how Nebuchadnezzar had a dream and no one is able to interpret it. Well, Daniel and his friends seek God about the dream and He reveals it to Daniel, and so he's able to interpret the dream. Daniel makes it clear to Nebuchadnezzar, though, that it's the God of heaven who knows and reveals mysteries. He doesn't take any credit for himself. If you read the story, you'll know how, well, the first question was to the three friends, which God will be able to deliver you out of my hand, right? Thank you, Frank, for reading that passage for us. Daniel's response here is, it's the God of heaven that reveals mysteries. So Daniel doesn't take credit. He credits God with this. And he ends up saving himself, his friends, and all the wise men from being persecuted. They were sentenced to death because no one could interpret this dream that he had, right? Let's go to Daniel 2. We'll read a little piece of it, starting at verse 27. Daniel replied, "No wise man, enchanter, magician, or diviner can explain to the king the mystery he has asked about. But there is a God in heaven who reveals mysteries. He has shown King Nebuchadnezzar what will happen in days to come. Your dream and the visions that passed through your mind as you were lying in bed are these." Now, pause for a second. The king didn't tell him the dream, right? He had to first tell the king what his dream was and then interpret it. He accused the magicians and all the wise men that they were just buying more time, right, to come up with a plan. I just thought it very interesting that you know, the king wouldn't share it with them. He had to first tell them. This would have really spoken to the king that, hey, wait a minute. This is crazy, right? Like, how can somebody actually tell me what I dreamed? There was a higher power. "So as your majesty was lying there, your mind turned to things to come. And the revealer of mysteries showed you what is going to happen. As for me, this mystery has been revealed to me, not because I have greater wisdom than anyone else, but so that your majesty may know the interpretation and that you may understand what went through your mind." Let's skip over to verse 47. "The king said to Daniel, 'Surely your God is the God of gods and the Lord of kings and a revealer of mysteries, for you were able to reveal the mystery.' Then the king placed Daniel in a high position and lavished many gifts on him. He made him ruler over the entire province of Babylon and placed him in charge of all its wise men." So, as a result of this, Daniel becomes a ruler of the province of Babylon, an even higher position than they had already been placed before, right? In chapter 3, we read how Nebuchadnezzar decides to build an image of gold and wants everyone to bow to it. Here again, we see how Daniel's friends were determined to be faithful. At some point, they must have been taught not to worship other gods. I understand when they went into captivity that they were only youths. Somebody influenced these young men. Frank read the passage for us. I just want to pick up again on two verses here. Let's chapter 3, verse 16 and 18, or 16 to 18. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to him, King Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to deliver us from it, and he will deliver us from your majesty's hand. But even if he does not, we want you to know, your majesty, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you have set up. These guys were solid in trusting God, right? Where are you at in trusting? What are you going through? What do you need to trust God with that you're facing? How are you influenced by what's around you? These guys, first of all, let's remember, they had to qualify, or you might say first try out. And then they were trained for 3 years before they could come into the king's service. This training was meant to strip them of their national and religious affections and to conform to the pagan worldview of Babylon. Like, they were supposed to be informed and well, how do I put it? Engaged, right? In the king's, in how they lived out their life, in the gods that they worshipped. The faith and courage of these men, even in the face of death, just amazes me. The trust that they had to completely give their lives to stand up for their faith. If you want to more on the book of Daniel, there's Paul Tanner has a great commentary on that book. I'd encourage you to read that. Also want to look at the Apostle Paul. Paul shares this similar determination. Let's turn to Philippians chapter 1. Verses 20 and 21. I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage so that now, as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Acts 20, verse 24 says, however, I consider my life worth nothing to me. My only aim is to finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me. What was this task? This task was of testifying to the good news of God's grace. So what does it mean to overcome? And what's in it for those that do? John 3:3 says, Jesus replied, very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again. John 5:24, very truly I tell you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be judged but has crossed over from death to life. So the one who believes has passed from death to life. He's born again. This is the greatest victory that we have. And it's due to the work of Christ. The believer will live forever and has victory over death. John 3:16, let's turn there. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. So the moment you believe, you can have a quality of eternal life here and now already. 1 John 5:4-5, for everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. So trusting God, right? Trusting God with whatever we're facing. Does it mean that it's just going to disappear and happen automatically? No, actually, when you're facing the pressure, you feel completely helpless, right? You put your faith in God, the one that can deliver you. Not in another man, not in an idol, but in God. Who is it that overcomes the world? Only the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. So every believer can have this victory, and each one has the opportunity to overcome in the way they live. Each one is capable of conquering, but it is not automatic, nor is it guaranteed that they will. Just because you've come to believe doesn't mean that all the challenges you face are dealt with. In fact, that's the point. We need to work out our salvation daily, trust God in our circumstances. And as we do that, we can overcome. Lucas Kitchen, in chapter 15, the book called Rewards, says there's synonyms for overcome include victory, triumph, prevail, conquer, succeed, win, and others. One who overcomes could be considered a champion, a victor, a medalist, and all kinds of positive things. The word Nike means victory and is the same root word where overcome is derived from. Paul says in Romans 12:21, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. How? How do we overcome evil with good? How can believers conquer evil? What's the cost? Well, for Daniel's friends, they were willing to give their life to stand up for their faith. They trusted God. And for another one, we don't fight evil with evil, right? Responding to evil acts with good works would be an obvious mark of overcoming. But what does that look like? What does that look like? This book we're going through in ABF right now is called Cry of the Soul. And it's really helped me to consider the reality, the emotions that we go through, being real with life. That means living a transparent life. Some people might see your weaknesses and your strengths. Just admitting to yourself what's really going on, right? Then to have self-control, not act out in anger or in rage like we saw Nebuchadnezzar did. And actually, the example of Daniel, he was calm, right? His response to, he was on the list of going to be executed. Let's read Romans. Turn to Romans chapter 12. Starting at verse 9. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor, serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction. Not easy, right? Faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath, for it is written, "It is mine to avenge, I will repay," says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. So that's quite straightforward, right? Very simple to understand. Don't revenge, pray, give, bless, don't curse. And the list goes on. Peter says similar things in 1 Peter. Let's turn there. 3, starting at 8, says, "Finally, all of you, be like-minded, be sympathetic, love one another, be compassionate and humble. Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult. On the contrary, repay evil with blessing, because to this you were called, so that you may inherit a blessing. For whoever would love life and see good days must keep their tongue from evil and their lips from deceitful speech. They must turn from evil and do good. They must seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil." So, what is good? What is good? Isaiah 5:20 says, "Woe to those who call evil good and good evil." We might all have our definition of good. "Woe to those who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter." Psalm 100 verse 5 says, "For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations." So yes, God is good. God's principles. You can read through just numerous Psalms where we see this, and the Proverbs as well, where they are effective. And we can use them to apply to the different situations that we're in. What makes someone an overcomer? Well, Daniel and his friends, they resolved not to defile themselves or worship idols. They came up with an alternative plan for their circumstances. It's really not complicated, right? We can do the same. And when we do that, we are overcoming. And we're honoring God, glorifying him by the way that we live. These guys were very strong in their faith, not allowing themselves to be influenced by their training. I mean, they had intense training, right? They were renamed. They had certain foods they were supposed to eat, although they came up with a different plan. They had to be of royal descent. Their language was changed, and just numerous things, right? Do we need training in serving God? I mean, this Nebuchadnezzar, he had it figured out, right? If these guys are going to serve me and be helping me govern, they need to know how I think, right? They need to know who I worship. In fact, they need to worship who I worship. My question was, do I need training to worship my God? Do you need training? Paul says in 1 Corinthians 9, verse 19, though I am free and belong to no one, I have made myself a slave to everyone to win as many as possible. Skip over to verse 24. Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like someone running aimlessly. I do not fight like a boxer beating the air. No, I strike a blow to my body and make it my slave so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. Do you think that these young men just went on a whim, like that it just happened? Yeah, God infused them with this faith to trust him completely with their lives? I don't think so. I think there was people praying for them. I think they were in prayer. Pour your hearts out to God. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, because this is may also be a barrier sometimes. Maybe we're stuck, right? We can't go beyond things. We maybe have a guilty conscience or not a clear conscience. He is faithful. It says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. 1 Peter 5:7 says, cast all your care, your anxiety on him because he cares for you. James 4:7, submit yourselves then to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Is that a reward? What is it? Well, first off, I think we have to determine how real we want to be with God. God knows your heart already. He already knows what's there. He knows what you're going through, what you're facing, right? What better than to pour it out to the one that already knows and wants to give you the strength to have peace, to overcome? Revelation 2:7 says, whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To the one who is victorious, I will give the right to eat from the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. Same chapter, verse 17, whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To the one who is victorious, I will give some of the hidden manna. I will also give that person the white stone with a new name written on it, known only to the one who receives it. Verse 26, to the one who is victorious, overcomes, and does my will to the end, I will give authority over the nations to rule. Verse 28, I will also give that one the morning star. Let's go to Romans chapter 8. And then one more passage, and we'll stop there. Romans 8. Starting at verse 36. As it is written, "For your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." John 16:33 says, "I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning. Thank you for your word that we have. Thank you for the faith of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and Daniel, how they just completely trusted you, even if it meant to give up their life. Help us, Lord, to trust you completely. Help us to take to heart the things in your word. Thank you, Lord, that you care for us. Thank you that you are the one that can give us the strength to overcome. Thank you that you're a loving and merciful God and gracious. You don't treat us as our sins deserve. So, Lord, I pray that each one here would be encouraged to trust you daily and walk by faith. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Thank you for listening.